For those of you who are visiting today, our parish hall becomes an overflow homeless shelter each August. Thanks to Elaine Tyrone and so many of you who help out in a multitude of ways. And one of the things that I most enjoy about Project Home is getting to know some of the neighbors that I might not ordinarily meet and hearing their stories, and I am continually inspired by the people I meet in Project Home. I'll never forget a woman I met about 9 years ago who started to tell me her story, and she mentioned that her mother just didn't know how to be a mother. She probably hadn't had someone who had been a good mother to her, and that she never knew who her father was. She just said, I don't have a role model, but I am determined to be a good mother to my children and to take care of my siblings, to be the mother that I wish that I had had. And as I sat there, I heard her tell me just how Jesus had been with her throughout her life. She was confident of that, had walked with her through her homelessness and was helping her to be a good mother to her children and her family. And she wanted to offer a more grace-filled life to everyone around her. Her faith in Christ convinced her that the healing Jesus offered was not just for her, although that had been profound, that she was to share Jesus' healing power with others. In today's gospel from Luke, Jesus, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, reads from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah in the synagogue in his hometown in Nazareth. The portion of the scroll he reads talks about the Spirit of the Lord being upon the prophet, anointed by God, to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, freedom to the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, meaning a jubilee year in which all debts would be forgiven. As Jesus read, the locals were most likely beaming. Here is the local boy made good. This is like Jack or Ming Lee getting up reading, or one of our other children, and we're so proud of them. We've known them since they were young. Many in the synagogue would have known Jesus since he was a child or a teenager. With the eyes of the entire synagogue fixed on him, Jesus rolled up the scroll, sat down, and said, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." It was like an ancient mic drop. Place went silent. Despite this shocking statement, the hometown crowd continued to think well of Jesus until he proceeded to tell stories revealing his conviction that God's embrace and healing power was for everyone, not just the Israelites. While Jesus' mission to reach out in healing to all people was an important Jewish idea, it was not what the people gathered in the Nazareth synagogue wanted to hear. In fact, they were so threatened by this idea, they then tried to throw Jesus off a cliff. When Jesus quotes from what we know as the 61st chapter of Isaiah, he does some intentional editing. He leaves out the second part of verse 2, which calls for God's vengeance on evildoers. When Jesus says, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing," without any mention of malice toward Israel's enemies, he is announcing that God's reign is one in which all people are worthy of God's healing. Further, Jesus highlights God's particular interest in those who are struggling and excluded from human fellowship, the outcasts, the people and places Israel thought were cursed by God. In Jesus' day, land, prosperity, and health were thought to be signs of God's blessing. Poverty, childlessness, disease, and mental illness were thought to be signs of God's curse or disfavor. While Jesus' life and ministry challenged these wrong-headed notions, they still exist today, even in Christian circles. God's healing power, as manifest in the life of Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit, is available to everyone. God's love and healing power knows no boundaries, no ethnic boundaries, no racial boundaries, no religious boundaries, no national boundaries. This is God's good news. Personally, many of us experience the healing power of the Holy Spirit when others listen to us, pray for us, bring us a meal, forgive us, help us, all the times we feel vulnerable, and sometimes it's even hard to receive this help. God's healing power is always available. We often don't notice when the Holy Spirit does small but important things in our lives. But we do tend to wake up when the Spirit brings major changes that interrupt our lives. Sometimes the interruptions enable us to face the unhealthy ways we're living in relationship with ourselves, others, and the earth. This summer, as many of you know, I was hospitalized not once but twice, which was absolutely shocking to me. I'm the person who goes into the doctor and I don't check one thing on those forms where they say, do you have diabetes? Do you have blood clots? Both times, an infection, a minor infection, moved very quickly into my bloodstream and I started to go into sepsis. One of those times, I ended up in the ICU. It was incredibly scaring, and I felt so vulnerable, and I know so many of you can relate. Sometimes these things happen so very quickly, and if we ever had any illusion of control, it goes out the window. But one of the things that I learned in my recovery period, as I was doing PT, was really surprising and revelatory to me. And that is that I don't breathe using the full capacity of my lungs. This amazing therapist discovered that I breathe in a very shallow manner as if I'm in a race. And I don't. So I'm learning how to breathe again. And for me, that is a spiritual process. It's like, it's hard. Dwight thinks I'm kind of strange. I lie on the floor while we're down in the living room and I have to do all this deep breathing. But I have to, and it's hard, and I have to let go to do that, and it's very prayerful. But I reflected on my life, and I don't know if you can relate, but for so many years, my life has felt like a sprint. And I love what I do, but in working full time and trying to raise a child who thankfully now is an independent young adult, but in trying to juggle all that, trying to take three churches to the next level, going through grad school and all of that, I didn't realize how much I was always pushing myself, and I stopped listening to myself. I stopped listening to my body. I stopped listening to my spirit. And for years, I could push through exhaustion. I could push through insomnia. And then I hit the wall. And so it's been very, very humbling, but I take that learning to breathe again as a deep spiritual piece. And so I think these health episodes that many of us have experienced, either personally or with those we love, can sometimes be a wake-up call for a way that we need to change our lives, not only change things that affect us physically, but also change things that affect us spiritually. And I truly believe that the body and the spirit are intertwined. And the body sometimes is a good way of understanding what's happening with it, as understanding what is happening with us spiritually. So these episodes can be wake-up calls. So many of you here today share God's healing power with others, and I'm so grateful for you. You are conduits of God's light and life all over the cities, in hospitals, medical clinics, and offices, where you offer yourself and your gifts in every possible way, from therapy to spiritual direction. You also offer your gifts here as part of our listening ministry, our discernment ministry, our pastoral visitor meals, and Eucharistic visitor ministries. Food is healing, as is the bread of life brought to you at home when you're sick or don't have enough energy to go to church. Having someone listen to your dreams, fears, and frustrations is healing, as is praying with another person or being prayed for. This morning, I want to specifically lift up the members of our faith community who care for family members and neighbors when there's no cure on the horizon. So many of you care for or have cared for spouses or parents with Alzheimer's, dementia, multiple sclerosis, and so many of these different diseases and long-term conditions that worsen over time. You are some of the unsung healers, heroes, and heroines of this congregation. You battle exhaustion, isolation, grief on a daily basis. I also want to lift up those who, through their volunteer or paid work or commitment to specific neighborhoods in the cities, are in relationship with neighbors who are struggling with poverty, homelessness, limited opportunity, addiction, and domestic abuse. May God give you the strength to continue to walk with these neighbors in love, knowing God desires hope and wholeness for them and will do a healing work through you. As Jesus would be the first to testify, those wishing to be used as vessels of God's healing must allow God to heal them first. In order to be used by God as fully as possible, we must face those things that need healing in our own hearts and lives and in our relationships with others. What is getting in the way of God's desire to make us whole? We must also, like Jesus, stand on the strong foundation of an ongoing relationship with God. Jesus prayed to God and studied the scriptures regularly. Even when the crowds were pressing in on him, he made time to get away, to be quiet, and to listen. Amidst the seductions of his life and time, Jesus stepped back in prayer to remember the name that God gave him at his baptism, Beloved. And he regularly worshiped God in community. He knew that God strengthens and forms us and upholds us through relationships. My prayer this day is that each of us will participate even more fully in the ministry that Jesus began in that synagogue in Nazareth, in the power of the Spirit, bringing good news to the poor, proclaiming release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, letting the oppressed go free, proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor, and sharing God's healing love with others. In the silence that follows, I want you to think about what in you needs healing so that you can share God's healing power with others. Amen.